Your new radio home for K-State Athletics, 97.5 and 1240 KFH. It's that time, Sports Daily, getting all the inside information on Kansas State. Let's go now to the voice of the Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson.
And welcome back, everybody. It's Sports Daily here on this Reaction Monday, joined now by the voice of the Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson. An extremely entertaining Sunflower Showdown as the Wildcats get the two-point victory in Manhattan on Saturday night, 29-27. Wyatt, good morning. Have you gotten some rest after that big game Saturday night?
I would say enough. Yeah. Yes and no.
Just enough.
How about that for an answer?
Yeah,
huh?
Just enough. It was
good to be on with you guys. That was a terrific football game and a really great win for K-State. Excited for them.
It absolutely was. And I want to get your top level view on this first before we really dig in. It was back and forth, obviously, and that's what you want from a rivalry game. Of course, the Wildcats able to extend their winning streak to 16 games against the Jayhawks, but it was different than a lot of these other matchups that we've seen over the course of the last decade and a half, Wyatt. And I think that last year's game and this year's game, I mean, it just shows how close this rivalry has gotten, and just it ultimately ended up a battle back and forth, and really, I think, came down to which team made fewer mistakes, and that was obviously Kansas State.
Yeah, I think a couple of thoughts there, to be honest with you, Tommy. I think one is that K-State is pretty darn good at finding ways to win games, and it's been a little bit more of a struggle for KU. But I do think the last 2 years, and you're accurate there, shows you what kind of job Lance Leipold has done at Kansas. I don't think there's any question that they've closed the gap. I felt like, and I don't see them every week, but this is my thought. I thought Jalen Daniels played his best game this year, and I frankly don't think it was all that close. I know he was really good, you know, last week against Houston, but I thought he really, really brought it. They ran the ball well, and when they run the ball, they become exceptionally dangerous, and it was a challenge. Just kind of updating my charts here. They had 401 yards in total offense. K-State had a little bit more than that, but you kind of get the idea. I mean, when you get right down to it, I think mistakes is probably the difference, really.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely would agree with that, Wyatt. And going back to what you had mentioned as far as the yards gained by both teams, and I think we had talked about it last week leading into the Sunflower Showdown, that the Wildcats really had this opportunity to pound the ball on the ground with that three-headed monster between Giddens and Edwards and, of course, Avery Johnson. All three of them did that. Dylan didn't touch the ball a whole lot offensively, but when he did, he made the most of it. And then, of course, DJ Giddens had over 100 yards on the ground. That ultimately, I think from an offensive point of view, certainly seemed to be, you know, sort of the game changer, the difference maker, I guess, for the Wildcats.
Yeah, you know, they've made their hay this year running the football. There's no question about that. But it has been a little bit more difficult in the last couple of games, the game in Morgantown 2 weeks ago and in this game. I thought overall KU defended DJ very, very well, with probably the exception of the one long run. They did a good job. I think a lot of people probably would say, man, I wish Dylan would get a couple of two or three more carries here and there. And I kind of understand that. You know, it's just, he's been very productive when called upon, whether it's in the throw game or the run game. It's one thing that I will say that I don't think gets enough headlines here is how well K-State's offensive line plays consistently this year. They have not been perfect, but when you consider that they lost an All-American and three sixth-year guys, and you know they're putting up the numbers they are, and for the season and in conference play, they're almost better in some ways in conference play when you start to shake that down. Really gives you an opportunity with a very talented young quarterback and you know, good backs and solid receivers. I'll say it that way.
You know, Wyatt, you bring up something that really makes me think to maybe next year even, and that is assuming that Jason Daniels come back, or Jalen Daniels comes back to KU. He's got another year. Avery Johnson's just a sophomore. Boy, the state of Kansas has got really two talented, athletic quarterbacks at their two major Big 12 schools. I think this is really something pretty cool. I like these two quarterbacks, but they're still a long ways away from being to that that niche level in NCAA football, where they're, you know, where we start kind of mentioning them in under our breath about Heisman maybe or something like that, long ways away. But what's the upside on the state of Kansas right now with what two of what I think are two quarterbacks with so much potential? It could just be nuts.
Well, I agree with all of that. I think really when you look at Avery, and we've talked a lot about him on this show week in and week out, but I think we should be, you know. I mean, he's been very productive. He seems to be a little bit better each and every week. I love his approach and his work ethic. Everybody loves his skill set. And I don't see Jalen as often, you know, and in person as you know, others do. But I don't know how you look at him and don't just think, wow, that's an electric talent. Mm-hmm. Coach Klieman told me this last week when we got together and visited about the game that the most underrated thing about him is his arm talent. I think you saw that on that touchdown or potential touchdown that was dropped in the end zone early in the game. Mm-hmm. Guys, that was like a 55, 60-yard throw. And pretty much right on the money. It takes a little bit of skill set to do that. He's a fabulous player from my perspective.
Wyatt, as I was watching the game on Saturday night, and Avery Johnson does a quick post-game interview on the field after the game, he mentioned how offensively in the second half things were not clicking the way that they were in the first half for Kansas State.
Right.
They still found a way to win, and really – for both teams, I mean, it got kind of sloppy, and it wasn't, you know, great football on either side. And really, the mistakes sort of piled up and ultimately became the death of Kansas in this matchup, quite frankly. But with Johnson specifically and the way that he led this Kansas State offense, what was your big takeaway from him leading the team offensively when things weren't going well? It's easy to be a leader when things are going well and you're connecting with your wide receivers and all of that, but you faced some adversity in the second half, and that could have very well been partially due to adjustments that Kansas made defensively in the second half, or just things, you know, maybe weren't, you know, rolling at the same kind of efficiency that you're used to. How do you think Johnson responded to when things were not particularly going well in the second half?
Well, I think he responded very, very well for a true sophomore and a guy who's played, 15, 16 games in a career. Under that duress, I'll say, because I thought Kansas did a pretty good job defensively. They moved him around a little bit, made things hard. And he said to us on postgame two that he was asked about how well did he play, and he said, not as good as I wanted to. And I think that's partly why he gets better and better and better. He went into pretty complete detail there of what he could have been better at. And I just think that's how you get better. I heard a basketball coach many years ago say, a lot of guys, when they practice on their strengths, not their weaknesses, and it should be the other way around. And I think it's true. But this is a young guy that practices both, I believe. And I think he handled it under the circumstances really pretty well. You know, the completion numbers weren't quite as good, but when he had to make a play, a lot of times he did. And I think that's also true for K-State. I think what he would tell you, too, is that on a night where he could have been better, the defense in the second half probably saved K-State because they made some adjustments, too, and they were better, especially in the fourth quarter, they were better. KU's mistakes were part of that, no question. Man, it was an electric crowd, good football game. You couldn't ask for more. But I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again. They're sitting there 7-1, and I don't know that they've played their best football game yet, and that excites me.
Yeah, I'm going to make a comment just and see if you agree with me, because I might be crazy on this one, but I looked at this game, and I watched this game, and it was a close game all the way through, and I thought to myself, why is this game so close? And it hit me. You know, I've watched KU over the last few years. They have not been a physical football team, and I'm talking about offensive line, defensive line. But I'm thinking to myself, you know, KU's come a long way with physicality in the trenches. They played K-State pretty darn well. They matched them pretty darn well. KU was almost as physical, if not as physical, as Kansas State. To me, that might be the difference of why this was only a two-point game. Your comments on the physicality of the University of Kansas, and does that give you pause as to think to yourself, well, maybe there's room for improvement on physicality with K-State at this point?
Well, I will say this. Doing this job day in and day out for, 23 football seasons now, when most people are asked about K-State, those coaches respond with the fact that they play very, very physical football and they play exceptionally hard. They're always well prepared. Those types of things. I think that is still the case here. But I get your point. I made the point last week as often as I could that this is a Kansas team that you have to look at, that they're going to come in here and potentially play at their optimum level, because don't kid yourself, that game meant a lot to them too.
Yeah.
You know, and I think you saw that in their play.
Yeah.
And they have become more physical. I look at their offensive line and I thought they did a pretty good job against a solid, solid K-State front. But I have to be honest and tell you too, I think they were better on the defensive front from a physicality standpoint, Paul, than I thought they might be. You look at their front, especially Taylor Withers, Robinson, Woodkey, those kind of guys, Tommy Dunn, those guys can play. They're good players. They've just had an odd season, really, from the standpoint of, you know, they've lost some really hard games that they probably could have won late. I mean, they're up 11 points with 4.5 minutes to go at West Virginia and got beat, and usually that doesn't happen. So they've not been perfect, but they're clearly better, and the physicality is in part why. Number six is really good too. Number four is great. He's a pro, 100%. Don't you think?
I do.
Anybody that watches that guy run the football and don't think he's going to play at the next level is crazy.
Yeah,
absolutely. Wyatt Thompson, voice of the Wildcats, joining us here reacting to the Sunflower Showdown, where Kansas State extends their winning streak to 16 games over the Jayhawks. Wyatt, let's go to the defining final drive for Kansas in the Sunflower Showdown, as they're trying to push the ball into field goal range to hopefully set up what would have been, had it worked out, a game-winning field goal for the Jayhawks. I don't know if I have seen a team blitz as much as Kansas State did defensively on that final drive. I mean, they sent the house over and over and over again on Jalen Daniels and the Kansas offense. And really, credit to Joe Klanderman, credit to the Wildcat defense for executing those blitzes so well. I was surprised, and I'd love to get your thoughts on this. I was surprised that KU didn't really do anything to adjust to that on that final drive. It just sort of seemed like play after play after play, you just knew, everybody in the building knew, that Kansas State was going to bring the house, and the Jayhawks really didn't do anything to adjust from that. But again, credit to Klanderman and the defense for Kansas State for really executing that well.
Joe Klanderman's been around here a long, long time. He's been with Chris Klieman a long time. And I left the stadium thinking to myself, when was the last time with a game on the line that late in the game that we saw the K-State be that aggressive in the blitz game and bring the house, so to speak? That's kind of the old cliche way to say it, right? But that's exactly what they were doing, Tommy, right? There's no doubt about that. And I think it helped K-State win the game. I don't know if they don't play it that way, we'll never know. But I guess what I'm saying is you could make an argument, had they not done that and played a little bit more conservatively, KU may have gotten a field goal try. It may have been a 50-55 yarder, but they may have got there. I just thought it was great. I mean, hey, if you're going to go down swinging, boy, why not? It's like you got Bob Gibson on the mound. You're going to let him throw a curveball with that heater?
Yeah. Right.
Let it all hang out, best, right? Let it all hang out. It's, you know,
absolutely,
it's a rivalry game in the final drive. I mean, that, and I think that, honestly, from a play calling perspective, and you mentioned Joe Klanderman's been around for a long time. It's not his first rodeo. It's not his first Sunflower Showdown. But I'll tell you what, that took a lot of guts. I think it took a lot of guts defensively from a play calling perspective, because all it would have taken, well, maybe not all it would have taken, but Kansas could have set up a screen.
Sure.
They could have done a draw play. There were different things that they could have done to counter that, sure, where it could have blown up that blitz, you know, caught the Wildcats on their heels a little bit. That didn't happen. So those were gutsy calls, I think, from the K-State defense.
Absolutely. And I think it's a risk-reward thing, right? I mean, when you do that, there is risk. There's no question about it. And I think that's what was so satisfying about it if you're a K-State fan, because, you know, did you have any other choice other than to get after him? I mean, he was good enough that night that if you don't get in his face, he's probably going to make a play or two and put you in harm's way, simply stated.
You know,
I don't think there's any doubt about
it. Yeah. You know, let me get to just a basic question right now regarding the Big 12, if you don't mind, Wyatt. You got four teams that right now look like they could be the champion of the Big 12 in Iowa State, BYU, K-State, and, of course, Colorado. Two of the teams sitting at 4-1, BYU and Iowa State sitting at 5-0 and 4-0, undefeated in the Big 12. One of those four teams is going to be a representative into the big dance. We know that. What do you think right now about the chances of two teams? You know, we're talking about two teams from the Big 12. Is this conference strong enough? Will they have enough pull to get two teams into the big dance?
I would like to think that the answer is definitely yes. I think when people look at the top of our league, you see very, very quality football teams, don't you?
I do.
I mean, I've said it all along. BYU has made a big step from their first year in the league from last year to this. and I think it isn't just Jake Retzlaff, who I think if you go back and look what he did a year ago in terms of results, win-lose, it wasn't very good. And now here they sit. I think Iowa State is a dynamite team, honestly. Some have argued that they haven't played the same kind of schedule K-State has played, and I believe that is so. I do. I think what will hurt is just the national perception, because you have so many talking heads that are so pro-SEC and Big Ten.
Yes, sir.
Does that influence the committee? It shouldn't, but sometimes it does. Mm-hmm. Name recognition is also important, much like it is in basketball. There's going to be, you know, I'm just going to be blunt about this. There's going to be some politics in it. It's just part of it. It's an imperfect system. But I do, to specifically answer your question, is the league good enough to get two out of 12? Of course they are.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll see if that's the reality, though, once it all comes to bear. It's interesting, Wyatt, because, you know, week in and week out, it's really easy to talk about the stars. You know, it's really easy to talk about the Avery Johnsons and the DJ Giddens and, you know, some of these other players on this team. Just because they're lighting it up week after week and doing really remarkable things. Usually the only time that a kicker is brought up is when it's in a negative light or a negative connotation. But hats off to Chris Tennant. I mean, you know, hitting that ultimately game-winning field goal with a couple of minutes left in the game, that wasn't an easy field goal. It was a long field goal. And I know that, you know, you've obviously followed, you know, and called every game that Tennant has been with, but it hasn't always been sunshine and rainbows for Chris Tennant. So I think, I'm sure, obviously, that was such a positive moment for him to hit that game-winning field goal against your in-state rival. You know, hats off to him. That was clutch.
I'm really glad you brought that subject up, because I do think you can look at this 100 different ways. But the weekend for me, okay, I'm just going to tell you a little bit about how good my life is. Friday night, I emceed the pep rally after the parade. And one of the people I got to interview there was Darren Sproles. I don't know if you remember how many stars Darren Sproles had coming out of high school,
sure,
but it wasn't very many.
Right.
Right. Chris Tennant and what he has gone through here in growing into a really, really fine football player. And he mentioned it to us on there. He mentioned it to the media afterwards. K-State, he hasn't always been K-State's favorite guy. The fan base, I'm saying.
Yeah.
But he's just gotten better and better and better. And what resonated with me among probably above everything else is what Coach Klieman said during his presser, that in the last month, he has been superb in kicking the ball. And it's reality. I mean, that thing was right down the middle, and from my perspective, probably would have been good from 55, 56 yards. He smoked it.
You know,
good
when,
for him, too.
You yeah. know, you, when you look at the schedule ahead, I mean, it is not, it's not like this is a cakewalk, I can tell you that right now. But when you look at the schedule ahead, there's going to be some games that kind of worry me, and I'm sure they worry you too. What's the one or two games that you can think can be a trap game? You know, it's one of those games where, you know, K-State will be favored. I know you got to think there's one game that's going to be a trap game. What's the one game that's got you worried just a little bit?
Well, I'll say that there are three games before K-State plays at Iowa State.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. And I would say most everybody would say the most worrisome game could be Cincinnati. Even though they got beat in Boulder, they're much better. Good football team. But I'll say this, you better be worried about Houston. Defensively, they are really good. Offensively, they are pretty ordinary, probably below average. But their football coach is dynamite, and he's been around. He knows Kansas State a little bit. He brought a Tulane team in here not all that long ago and beat K-State. He knows what K-State is all about. This will not be an easy game from my perspective. And if it is, I'll admit next week that I was wrong. These games on the road are hard. So I think the answer is Cincinnati under normal circumstances, but you better take some time and worry about this one too.
Yeah.
You know, the one thing I think I agree with you on is Houston. You that a little bit of fear? That's not bad. That's not all bad. Because, you know, this is not the same Houston team as when this season started. This is a team that's starting to figure this out. They're now 2-3 in the conference. They're 3-5. I was at a point where I was wondering, will they win a game? Seriously, I was at a point in this season.
Who wasn't?
It's a
great point because, I mean, they won at TCU. I don't know if you've noticed, but TCU has been a little bit better lately.
Yep.
And their quarterback, Hoover's been really, really good. Numbers that are rock solid. I mean, touchdowns to interceptions, his numbers are every bit as good as Avery's. Right? So that was a pretty good win. And you can say what you want about Utah, but they beat Utah the other night.
They did.
Oh.
And they beat them 17-14 on a kick with 4 seconds to go. But here's what people may have missed. They were inside the five twice and didn't score. They were the much better football team.
Yeah.
So if you're not worried about them, there's something wrong with you.
100%. And you know, and like you mentioned, Wyatt, I mean, going on the road to take on Willie Fritz, you know, is never an easy task, regardless of the talent level on the team. And I know that really the narrative with Houston this year has been give Fritz a little bit of time. He's rebuilding this program up, competing in the Big 12, all of that. And I wonder if that timeline has been moved up a little bit. He clearly doesn't have the horses, right, like that he would want for sure. The talent level just isn't, I'm sure, probably where he would want it to be overall. But he's getting the most out of them, at least he has, over the last several weeks. And like you mentioned, beating Utah at home on Saturday, that's a huge accomplishment for this Cougars team. The Wildcats head to Houston on Saturday. So I know that, you know, we had talked last week about Kansas State being on the road a lot before they got to play the Sunflower Showdown. They're right back on the road this weekend against Houston. And I kind of agree with you. I don't know if I would call it trappy necessarily, but this is a team that I think is playing better than what it shows on paper.
Without a doubt. And I don't think K-State will take them lightly. That's not the way Chris Klieman operates. You know, they're going to try to hone in and get ready to roll because, you know, they're going to look at Houston way different than everybody else does because I know how they think and operate, and they are going to know what Houston is defensively. And they may be talent void in some areas, but not so much on the defensive side. They've got dudes up front. They've got dudes in the middle and in the back. A.J. Halsey is one of the best secondary players in our league. There's no doubt about that. The question will be, can they do enough offensively? because they've kind of alternated quarterbacks back and forth, and the Chris kid has kind of been the guy the last couple of weeks and seems to be settling in there. But they've got pieces. I'll also say this. If the quarterback plays well, they have a couple of two or three receivers that are pretty salty. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I know they'll take it quite seriously. 100%.
It's a 2:30 kickoff on Saturday in Houston for the Wildcats. What do you guys have planned for the broadcast?
Well, still kind of making some of those, to be honest with you, but we'll visit with Coach Kleiman. We'll visit with the coordinators. And I'm not totally sure yet on the players, but I've kind of one of the guys that I thought I might try to get a talk with this week is Cody Stufflebean, who's from McPherson, been here a long time, a sixth-year guy. Kind of what we were talking about, like with what K-State is, right? Not highly recruited. Hadn't even been a starter until this year, and look how well he's played. He's kind of the other guy with Brendan Mott. He doesn't get the headlines, but he's a dude. And so I'm anxious to see if I can get him cornered and visit with him for a few minutes. Great kid. Thrilled he came back for a sixth year. It's helped us a lot.
Well, it's going to be, of course, another fun game as the Wildcats continue to try to keep their not only Big 12 title hopes alive, but also potentially entry into the college football playoff. And it continues on Saturday on the road at Houston. Again, kickoff is at 2:30. All the coverage, of course, here locally will be on KFH. Wyatt, we appreciate your time as always, and we'll talk to you again on Saturday.
Tommy, Paul, good to talk to you as always. Thank you so much.
There goes Wyatt Thompson, voice of the Wildcats here on Sports Daily. Paul, we're going to take a quick timeout on the other side. Let's look at the Sunflower Showdown from the Kansas perspective. We've talked Kansas State.
All right.
Let's look at it from the Jayhawks. Are there any moral victories that you can look at? I don't know if you want to call it a moral victory, if you believe in that sort of thing, or if you feel like you let one get away. We'll discuss that on the other side. In hour number one on a Reaction Monday, it's Sports Daily. Tommy Caster, Paul Savage, Jad Chambers producing. We'll be right back.